Well, good morning. Good to see you here this morning. Thanks for making it out the dicey weather. My name is Chad. I serve with the Send Network with Church Planters in Columbus and also here at Life Point. And we are in week three of our series that we're calling Built to Last. And the main idea of the series is like blueprints lead to buildings, our values frame our faith. So we've been looking at our five core values here at Life Point. We use the acronym GRASP for this. So G is gospel identity, R is reaching priority, A is authentic community, S is spiritual intimacy, and P is personal ministry. However, I was originally scheduled to share this message last Sunday on reaching priority, the R in GRASP, but I was sick, so Pastor Dean had to fill in for his fill-in. He had to fill in for himself, I guess, so sorry about that, Dean, but now we're out of order, so instead of doing GRASP, we're actually doing GARSP, which just doesn't have quite the ring to it, does it, you know? But keep in mind GRASP, that'll help you remember our five core values. We can't always control what happens in life, right? But we can control what we value. We can control what we prioritize. And today we want to look at how do we make this reaching priority a value in our life. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 6 through 11 together. It's also on the screen here for you. Here's what it says. So when they had come together, that being the disciples, they asked Jesus, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come the same way as you saw him go into heaven." So in this passage, we see some insights about our reaching priority. And the first one is this: we can be easily distracted from our reaching priority. It's very easy to get distracted from this value that we have. Notice the disciples here in Acts chapter 1. They are asking Jesus this question, "Lord, will you now restore the kingdom to Israel?" So Jesus is talking to them about his heavenly kingdom, and yet they're focused on an Israeli kingdom, a kingdom on earth, a kingdom that's more of a physical kingdom with an actual king ruling in Jerusalem that they become benefactors of. So that's what they're thinking of when they think about the kingdom of God. They think about this physical kingdom with Jesus on earth. And what is Jesus' response to them? He says, basically, guys, listen, this is none of your business. It's basically what he says. This is none of your business. Don't focus on that. Instead, go and be my witnesses. So they're focused on an earthly kingdom while Jesus is talking about a heavenly kingdom. They're distracted from what he's asking them to do. But then you go down to verse 7 and you see that as Jesus is ascending into heaven and he leaves the earth, that the disciples are standing there just gazing up into the sky. Like this. Where did he go? Now, you can't blame them for this, right? I don't know if you've ever seen a grown man leave the face of the earth and not come back, right? You've never seen anybody do this reverse gravity thing. I would have been staring up at the sky as well, but there they are. God has given them this mission, and they're just staring at the sky. And so literally the messengers have to come to them and say, hey, quit looking at the sky. He's not coming back, at least right now. He's not coming back. Go do what he told you to do. And so listen, our distractions may look different than their distractions. We might be tempted to drift from this mission in ways that different ways than they were tempted to drift from this mission. But the fact of the matter is, it's easy to get distracted from this reaching priority, from this mission that Jesus has given us to do. We don't do it intentionally. I just think we have so much going on. We're so busy. The tyranny of the urgent takes over. And next thing you know, we have lived weeks and months of our life without even thinking about other people that might need to know Jesus. It's not, I don't think, intentional. It's just a slow drift. Because there are many things that are clamoring for our attention. Many things. We have work obligations. We have family responsibilities, not to mention the desires that we have for our personal life, our leisure life, right? And all those things are good things. But in the midst of the tyranny of the urgent, I think sometimes it's easy for us to lose sight of what God has given us to do. So what do we do about this? How do we remedy this? How do we be more committed to the work of God? Because we have to be committed to our work and our family and our lives. But how do we do it all? I think for many of us, if we're honest, when we think about this idea of reaching priority or being on mission with God, the first thing that comes into our mind is we have to add a bunch of things to an already busy life. Like we might hear a message on reaching priority or mission, and we think, oh, you know, that sounds great, but I've already got so much going on. I don't think I can do one more thing. I've got so many plates spinning. I don't think I can add another one to the craziness that is my life. And that's fair, isn't it? But instead of thinking addition, I think the way that we avoid being distracted and we focus on reaching priority is instead not through addition, but through alignment. Through alignment. Aligning our life with God's mission. In Matthew's account of Acts chapter 1, he says it this way: as you are going into the world, make disciples. As you go, as you live your life, wherever it is that you are going, do this work that I've called you to do. As you go to work, as you go to class, as you take your kids to the game, as you get your nails done, your hair done, your car repairs done, wherever you go, make disciples. Do the mission. Embrace this reaching priority. Do you see? It's alignment, not addition. A helpful way that I think about it is God's called us to do mission where we live, work, and play and see a need. Where we live, work, play, and see a need. So it's not about adding a bunch of activity to an already overloaded life, but it's seeing the things that God already has us doing, the places that God already has us established, and using that for his mission. So let's think through this together. Who at your workplace needs Jesus? And what's a next step that you can take to get the gospel to them? What do you do for a living? And how can that living provide unique opportunities to be light to darkness in your field? Where do you live? Who are your neighbors? What unique needs and opportunities are there in your neighborhood with the people who live directly around you? Where do you do your leisure activities? Do your kids play a sport? How can you be Jesus to that team? So live, work, and play, and then see a need. Where do you see needs around you? Community organizations that you can serve, groups that have needs that you have resources to help with. We keep the mission central when we practice alignment, not addition. I think for us, we have to make a shift. We have to quit thinking about reaching priority as happening outside of our lives. No, mission happens through our lives, not outside of our lives. In other words, our life is the mission field. Mission isn't a trip, it's our lives. So that's how we keep from being distracted. We have to practice alignment versus addition. And let me just say, there are so many people in this church who are doing this. We're hearing stories all the time about people who are doing this. We had a story of one lady who she was out and about one day and ran across a stranger and felt like the Holy Spirit prompted her to invite him to Christmas Eve service. And she thought, you know, that sounds a little crazy. I don't know this person, but I'm going to do it anyway. And she invited him to Christmas Eve service. And guess what? He came with his family to Christmas Eve service. I think it was a few weeks ago, Pastor Dean said that 86% of people, if they're invited to church, will come. 86%. And there's an example of someone who just invited a stranger. They didn't even know, and they came. There's a story of another lady in our church who was out and about doing some things in her day-to-day life, and And as she was doing them, she opened up a conversation which led to an invitation, and the lady came to church and it resulted in a baptism. So she's just out living her life, and a conversation leads to an invitation which leads to a baptism. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And these are just two examples, two stories of people who are actually practicing this idea of alignment with God's mission in their life. So we can be easily distracted from the mission. It's easy to do, but we need to think alignment, not addition. That's the first insight about our reaching priority we see from Acts chapter 1. But there's a second insight I want us to think about from Acts chapter 1, and that is that we are empowered for our reaching priority. We are empowered for our reaching priority. Look here at verse 8 of Acts chapter 1 again. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." I think for a lot of us, when we read about sharing our faith or inviting others to church, we feel super overwhelmed by that, especially the introverts here in the room. I would ask you to raise your hand if that's you, but you wouldn't want to do it because you're introverted, right? But it overwhelms us. Like, the thought of doing that is just too much. And I just want to encourage you that, listen, here's the great thing. You don't have to do this on your own. You have a power within you that helps you in this. Like, God doesn't just call us to something and leave us to do it on our own. No, he gives us the ability to do it. He gives us the power to do it, namely through the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So the power for this mission, this reaching priority, is the Holy Spirit. So it's not resting on our ability and our convincing words. No, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. You want to see the difference that the Holy Spirit makes? Look at these disciples that Jesus is talking to here in Acts chapter 1. Look at them before the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost and after the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. When Jesus dies, the disciples essentially go into hiding. They are scattered and scared, and they're paralyzed with fear, stuck in an upper room when we find them in Acts chapter 2. They have no idea what to do next. And then the Holy Spirit comes and everything changes. Peter gets up and delivers a 10-minute sermon, and 3,000 people come to Christ in one day. One day. Now I know what you're thinking. If a 10-minute message is so powerful, why do we talk for 30 minutes? I have no idea, and actually I'm kind of offended that you would even ask. It kind of hurts my feelings, but this is what happens. When the Holy Spirit comes, Peter gets up and just talks for 10 minutes, and then 3,000 people come to Jesus. Why? Because Peter was a great orator? No, listen, just a few days earlier, he was denying Jesus, wasn't he? He was denying Jesus. In fact, if he had pastored a church at that time, he would have been kicked out of the ministry. And yet here he is a few days later preaching at Pentecost. 10 minutes, 3,000 people come to Jesus. What's the difference? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit who empowers us for this. So you see, before the Holy Spirit, the disciples looked like the movement of Jesus was dead. And after the Holy Spirit, it looks unstoppable. They go out from this place in Jerusalem and start making all kind of risks to get the gospel to people, facing persecution and going to all kinds of different places to share Jesus. Why? Because of the power of the Spirit. Without the Spirit, the Jesus movement likely dies in Jerusalem. And yet here we are, 2,000 years later, worshiping the same Jesus across an ocean because of these guys. That's the power of the Spirit. And so here's the encouragement. Look, we have the Spirit. And there's kind of three things he does for us in reaching priority that I want us to think about. First of all, he goes before us. The Spirit goes before us. He goes before us preparing the hearts of people. Acts chapter 10 tells us about this. The Holy Spirit's working in a man's life named Cornelius. God appears to Cornelius in a dream and prompts him to send for Peter to come to him and share Jesus with him. So did you catch that? The Holy Spirit goes ahead of Peter to Cornelius, prepares his heart so that when Peter comes and shares the gospel, Cornelius not only receives Jesus, but it leads to this Gentile Pentecost day where the Holy Spirit comes on people who are now non-Jews. So because of the work of the Holy Spirit, now all people are invited into this thing, not just Jews. So the Holy Spirit goes before us. We have to see that the Holy Spirit is around us in the world, working in people's hearts all the time. We don't know it, we don't see it, but he's doing it. And so we can have this confidence that when we go to invest in someone or invite someone, that guess what? The Holy Spirit's at work around us. And listen, it's not maybe every time that we invite someone they come or every time we share that people receive Jesus, but we can be for sure know that he's working around us. And as he leads us, we can have conversations with people. He goes before us. But not only does he go before us, he lives inside of us. So he's working around us, but he's also working through us. He's working inside of us, living inside of us, guiding us, prompting us, leading us, revealing things to us. Listen to what Acts chapter 16 says about this. It says this about Paul's life. And Paul went through the region of Galatia, and having been forbidden by the Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Did you catch that? Forbidden by the Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by there, they went to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called him to preach the gospel there. So here's the Holy Spirit working inside of Paul. Paul's trying to get to one place to share the gospel, and the Holy Spirit's like, no, don't go there. Well, he's trying to get to this place to share the gospel. No, I want you to go to Macedonia. And so the Holy Spirit in Paul leads him to Macedonia to share the gospel there. So the Spirit's working around us. He's working inside of us. But then last of all, he goes with us. He is with us. Look, if you feel overwhelmed by this, join the club. It is overwhelming. But we can take comfort in knowing that the Holy Spirit is never going to leave us. Jesus says in Matthew 28, "I am with you even until the end of the age." No matter what opposition you face, what challenges you face, what disappointments you have to endure, the Holy Spirit is with us. He goes with us. He lives inside of us. He goes before us. See, that's the power we have. And it takes all the pressure off, right? Notice in verse 8, Jesus says, you know what your role is this? The Spirit gives you the power. You know what your role is in this? You're witnesses. I love that. Because Jesus doesn't say you're saviors. No, that's the Holy Spirit's work. You're messengers. We're witnesses. He does the work. We're simply conduits through which the work goes. That's our role. So here's our encouragement. Look, what does success look like? If we share, we succeed. If we share Jesus, we succeed. It doesn't matter if people respond. It doesn't. That's the work of God. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. You know what our role is? Be a witness. That's it. We share if we succeed. Isn't that encouraging, right? Doesn't that take so much of the pressure off and that feeling of being overwhelmed? I just need to share. Who can I share with today? Who needs to hear about you today, Lord? It's that simple. It really is. I wanted you to see this video of this story about the power of the Spirit and the difference that he makes. Let's watch this together.
The Big Red Tractor and the Little Village. Once upon a time, in a little field, in a happy little village, lived a big red tractor. Every morning during plowing season, the village people, no, not those village people, would come out and start the red tractor. Everyone loved the tractor and the powerful noises it would make. They would cheer for the big red tractor because he would help them through plowing season. The people worked together to move the tractor. Half of the villagers would push from behind, while the other half would pull. They had been doing it this way for many generations. Some days, they moved the tractor 10 feet. Some days, they moved it 20. They did this for 3 whole months every year. Because of their hard work, the villagers always managed to plow the field just in time to plant and just before the rainy season. The rains would come to water the field. Then the sun would come out to make the crops grow. And then the people would come out and harvest all the new crops. It was just enough food to feed the entire village. One day, Farmer Dave was cleaning out his attic. To his surprise, he found an old book tucked beneath his great-grandpa's belongings. It was the owner's manual to the big red tractor. This book told about how the tractor was made and all of the great things it could do. Farmer Dave studied the book all night. He was shocked by what he was reading. According to the book, if the big red tractor was running properly, it could plow the whole field in just one day. Early the next morning, Farmer Dave gathered the villagers to tell them the good news. But nobody believed him. "There's no way that tractor can move on its own," some said. One lady said, "It sounds like you're reading a fairy tale." The people laughed at him. This made Farmer Dave very sad. This didn't stop Farmer Dave from believing what he read. Every night, while the other villagers were asleep, Farmer Dave spent time repairing the big red tractor. One night, Farmer Dave fixed the tractor completely. He jumped on the tractor and had so much fun driving it, he ended up plowing the whole field in one night. The next morning, the villagers woke up and were in shock. The whole field had been plowed. "It's a miracle," one man said. "Maybe aliens came down," said an old woman. "No, look over there," a little boy shouted. It was Farmer Dave sleeping on the tractor. It was then that people shouted, "He was right. The tractor book is true." The villagers ended up plowing many fields that year and harvesting way more food than they could ever eat. They had so many leftover boxes of food that they began taking the boxes to other villages where food was scarce. The big red tractor and his little village soon became famous throughout the land. They became known as the most generous and life-giving people in the whole wide world.
Yeah, do you ever feel like the church is kind of like those village people trying to push that tractor? I mean, things happen, right? And good things happen. But so much more could happen if the Holy Spirit was really empowering us. Yeah, I think so. And so the question for us is, what do we need to do to press into our relationship with the Spirit, to know that He goes before us, He's within us, and He's with us? He's the power. He's the power for the mission. So we can easily get distracted from our reaching priority. We are empowered for our reaching priority. But there's a third insight that I want us to see, and that's that we must embrace the scope of our reaching priority. We must embrace the scope of it. Verse 8 says, again, "You will be my witnesses," he says, "in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world." We've been talking quite a bit about Israeli geography lately, but just as a reminder, here's a picture of what this would have looked like. You've got Jerusalem there in the center, Judea, which was kind of like the county, if you will, and then you have Samaria up north. So relatively close together, these three places. And then when Jesus is talking about the uttermost parts of the world or the ends of the earth, this is kind of what he means. It's the known world at that time was very small. It was just this little window that we see. And so it seems like a small task when he says the ends of the earth, because it's not quite what we know of the ends of the earth today. But you have to remember that in order to get there, you had to go via feet or animal or boat. Right? Those were the only options. And a boat was notoriously dangerous and unreliable, because when you got to your destination, often your group looked different than when you started. It was like the Oregon Trail. You know, some would die forging the river, others would die of dysentery. Whatever the case, your group looked different from when you started. And so it was a very uncertain way of traveling. So when Jesus says to go to the ends of the earth, it's no small thing. And yet that was the priority, to go to the nations. And notice that Jesus doesn't say, go to Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria or the world. No, he says, and. In other words, it doesn't have to be sequential. It can be simultaneous. That we're to go to our local community and to the surrounding area and to the ends of the earth. It's an and, both and. So it's not just local, right? It is local, but it's not just local. I like how Alan Hirsch says it. It's glocal. It's both global and local. It's across the street and around the world. It's here, there, and everywhere. It's reaching our neighbors and the nations. But if we're honest, we can only be in one place in one time. So the question for us when it comes to our mission is not if we're called to the mission, but where we're called to the mission. We're all called to the mission. Once theologians said that every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. It's true. It's not if you're called to the mission. If we're a follower of Jesus, it's where we're called to the mission. Where is Jesus calling us to live out this reaching priority? The challenge for us is obvious right now with global missions, isn't it? Even if we wanted to do global missions, there's just some countries that we can't get into right now. And so that's kind of forced us to think about alternatives to reaching peoples who are far from Jesus. But the good news is we live in a city and the nations are here. They're here. Consider this. There are 139 languages spoken in our city. 139. And this is on par with some of the largest cities in our country for diversity per capita. A couple weeks ago, I had a meeting with a South Asian Indian pastor who said that Ohio now has 65,000 South Asian Indians, most of which live in Columbus. As of 2019, over 12% of the population of just the city limits of Columbus alone, or roughly 100,000 people who live there were born outside of the United States. In the city limits alone, there are 42,000 Spanish speakers, 21,000 Asiatic language speakers, and 10,000 Chinese speakers, among many, many others. And our city doesn't appear to be slowing down at all. I read an article this week that said our city is slated to grow by, listen, 1 million people by 2050. Crazy. The nations are here, and they're only going to keep coming to us. And so while we can't go to them there, we can go to them here. One of our church planters that I get the privilege of working with is Aaron Taylor. He's the pastor and planter of Living Hope Columbus over in Powell. And a couple years ago, they started the Finding Hope Center that helps refugees with home furnishings. They deliver mattresses and recliners and couches to refugees who come to our city. And just before the holidays, they were able to deliver some furniture to some of the first Afghan refugees to make it to Columbus. I have a picture here for us. Pretty cool. And so we have an opportunity, we have a lot of opportunities right in our city to embrace the scope of our reaching priority, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth that are now just across the street in some instances. But reaching priority isn't just about geography. We aren't just talking about where, but we're talking about who. Jesus wasn't just trying to get the disciples to cross geographical borders. He was trying to get them to cross racial borders and cultural borders and religious borders and socioeconomic boundaries. Jesus told them that their task included Samaria, right? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Jews and Samaritans, as Pastor Dean articulated a couple weeks ago, hated each other. And the scope of our work includes people that we might not normally spend time with, that we might not normally engage with. Samaria represents for us those people, whoever those people are in your life. And so this reaching priority is not just about where, it's about who. It's about crossing boundaries, crossing borders. It's about reorienting our thinking and our preferences and our biases and our comforts to take Jesus to real people who need him. And we have the opportunity to do that in our city. So we must embrace the scope of our reaching priority. So when you think about this message today. If you find yourself distracted, think alignment, not addition. Where do you live, work, and play and see a need? You find yourself overwhelmed, you're just a witness, right? The Spirit has the power. If we share, we succeed. Not sure where to start? It can feel overwhelming. Here's some next steps. We have a fantastic missions team here at LifePoint across all our campuses led by Christy Lowe. You can connect with Christy's team via email at missions@lifepointohio.com. missions@lifepointohio.com. That's a great place to start. We have fantastic partners that we're already connected with through Serve the City. If you go to lifepointohio.com, click on get involved, and then click on missions. You can see all the initiatives that we have to serve our city. A great way to get involved in reaching priority is to join a life group. Listen to this. We have life groups that currently serve along all these great organizations. Out of Darkness, which focuses on human trafficking. International Friendships, which is about international student outreach. Talk about the nations being here. We have a huge campus, right? I don't know if you've heard of it, down south a little ways. We have Family Promise of Delaware County that life groups are partnering with that provide transitional housing for families. Kindway Ministries, an outreach to the incarcerated, and many more. There are opportunities to serve at Stowe Mission in the area of crisis pregnancy, food pantry, eye and dental care, meal program, after school program, and a church plant that meets down there every week. So there's tons of opportunities. The question is, what is the next step that we'll take to embrace reaching priority? Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you so much for this mission that you've given us. And God, we thank you that you don't leave us alone to do it. You promise to be with us every step of the way. And Lord, I pray that this morning you would stir our hearts toward a next step. God, a next step that we could take to go across the street. And for some of us around the world. God, impress upon us not if we're called to mission, but where. And not just where, but God, to who. Lord, as we go, living our lives, may we be Jesus where we live, work, and play, and see needs. And we pray this all in the name of the Savior who came to us when we had a need. In Jesus' name, amen.